welcome to the D1 Softball Podcast. I'm your host, Sarah Henry. As always, we are excited to bring you the best of the best in college softball. After the show, head on over to d1softball.com for all the latest news, scores, stories, and more. If you subscribe today, you can use podcast20, that's PODCAST20 for 20% off an annual subscription. We are excited for today's new episode that features Nebraska's Olivia Farrell. Bree, another week is down. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. It was another wild weekend. We had streaks being busted. We had walk-offs left and right. We had all kinds of craziness, as usual. I think we say this every week, but a lot of theatrics on the field and in every conference was delivering some interesting action this weekend.
Yeah, when you talk about streaks being broken, I think the biggest news of the weekend was Texas Haley Dulcini breaking Oklahoma's 40-game win streak. And that was a heck of a game. Ree, what do you got on that OU-Texas game?
Yeah, Haley Dulcini was great. Obviously the Fresno State transfer, kind of her first, not first, but really big, big moment on the big stage. And we all knew how great of a pitcher she was, and just really grinded it out, 4-2. I mean, she was cruising there, gave up that late. We thought, oh, here comes OU again, like always, but she nailed it down. And they rebounded. They got, kind of smacked around early in that series. And then just a great performance. And they came up big. Their offense came up big when they needed it to. But the big story for that final game was Haley Dulcini, and really special moment for her. You saw how emotional she got when she nailed that win down. I think the Sooners, as much as that streak's cool, and it would have been cool to set make history in terms of the longest ever. I think, as we've learned, Patty Gasso kind of likes those things in a way, because it teaches her team something and gives them something to focus on that, she said, like, we kind of had to clean a few things up that you don't learn until you lose. So I think while it's, in the near term, it was probably a bummer. I think in the long term, like last year, what we saw with the loss to Georgia, it could obviously benefit them down the stretch.
Yeah, so that's that OU-Texas series. We had other, across the country, we had just upsets. We had, like you said, grand slams. We had run rules. We had kind of a little bit of everything. And we saw Alabama. Alabama Mississippi State series, to me, Bama got the sweep, but it was a tough series for them.
It was a deceptive sweep in my mind. Two walk-offs to start it. They had need, and those were seven inning walk-offs. We're not talking about run rule walk-offs. We have to distinguish sometimes. Because a lot of people call walk-offs 18-1. We walked it off. So I was just like, yeah, kind of.
I want to put a PSA. It's called LTLTF. So that's like, leave them on the field. So when people say that, that's, you just left them on the field. That's not a walk-off. I mean, I guess you do in a walk-off, but you leave them on the field in a run rule.
Yeah, it's always kind of deceptive with that rule. I'm like, sort of. So a true walk-off, dramatic walk-off, was Alabama's first two games. But Mississippi State, man, they were right in it. Their defense was amazing. I mean, honestly, like, I was so impressed with the defensive plays that team was making left and right. And it's no shade to go to Tuscaloosa and get swept, but it was a very deceptive sweep. I don't think if you watched the games, you would think, yeah, it was a sweep, but it wasn't like the traditional, like, oh, that was an easy sweep. So really good. I mean, Montana Fouts was back in form. They did it without Lexi Kilfoyle in the circle because she was feeling ill, which she returned to the circle last night in their midweek, so she seems good to go. They got a great performance from Alex Salter in relief in the game, which is huge. So I think both teams gained a lot from this series, and it was exciting. It was like you said, just watching it. I really enjoyed every game watching. And Mississippi State, they're going to be bummed they didn't win a game, but they got to walk away knowing that they're right there,
Yeah, and the Crimson Tide, they're rookies. I'm really, really impressed with the rookies that they've got, and Patrick Murphy has done an incredible job there, bringing them out and putting them in the right positions too, whether that's a pinch hit situation or putting them in the lineup. So impressed with the rookies with Alabama. So that's pretty much the SEC. We could go through everything, but we've got it on the website. Reed did an incredible job, unless you've got something to add, Reed.
No, just the other big win. It was the Arkansas over Kentucky. That was the other big series. Chinese Dels was amazing. She just keeps getting stronger. You know, the Tulsa transfer, and then Lenny Malkin had some power in her bat. But, you know, that was a series win. It was a good series. But that was the only really other series that I had my eye on from the SEC. So, yeah, there was so much other stuff to go around. We can't go on the SEC notebook. It's all there.
Yeah, so head on over to d1softball.com and check out the SEC notebook for what we learned and what to watch heading into the weekend. So that's the SEC. And then we'll head to the ACC. Ree, another wild weekend in the ACC. What was your biggest takeaways from the weekend?
Yeah, well, I got two main ones. I mean, the Clemson-Notre Dame series was amazing. Again, we talked about walk-offs. Clemson won the series with two walk-offs, and in between, Alexis Holloway for Notre Dame threw a no-hitter. It was a crazy series. It was very, very, very tight series. So that was a really fun one to watch. And then, you know, on the upper scale, Virginia Tech and FSU both lost games in series that I don't think many people would have thought they maybe lost a game. Virginia Tech, I've been saying all season, Virginia's kind of getting better. UVA, that program's, you know, had a really good season. They've dropped some, you know, interesting midweeks, but they've been tough in conference. So they took one off the Hokies and came close to winning that series. So that was quite interesting. But the more surprising thing to me is FSU North Carolina. They won the series 2-1, but man, their bats those first two games against a North Carolina pitching staff that they've improved, but that's not something that should be a struggle for a team like FSU. So their bats have been really a little bit inconsistent. They're not getting some of those big hits. So that really jumped out to me, just that they won the series, but I don't think they felt, you know, super good coming away from that series. And even yesterday in their midweek against Stetson, most of their RBIs were, you know, were fielder's choice. So it's been a little bit inconsistent with that offense. So those are the two things that really jumped out to me was, you know, both programs being tested and then the Clemson Notre Dame being a great series.
So that's the ACC. And in the Big Ten this week, Nebraska, they're 13-0 with a 33-9 overall record, 18 game win streak. So they're the front runners there. Northwestern, just a game and a half back. They're 11-1. Rachel Lewis had an incredible weekend. She reached base every single time and she scored a run. So she's on base 10 times and then she scored every single time.
Pretty good.
I think that's pretty good. And she was our U.S. softball player of the week. So we got Northwestern and Illinois. So big series tonight. We're taping this on a Wednesday. Illinois, Northwestern, they're in a doubleheader and they're just three games back. So this is a pivotal series for the Illinois. And Michigan, they're starting to crawl back. Starocco, 13 strikeouts last night. They're hitting the ball. They had a couple back-to-back-to-back doubles in the midweek game and had a good series against Maryland. So the Wolverines are starting to look a little bit better after just a really, really rough start in Big Ten play. So keep an eye on Michigan. That's the Big Ten. Anything else, Ree, that you'd like to add from the weekend?
No, just in the pack. I mean, we saw, you know, Arizona finally win a series, which was huge over Oregon. They needed a series win.
I can't believe I almost forgot the pack.
That's okay. Hey, that shows that you're not biased, man. It shows that I like that. And then Cal, you know, winning at Stanford, you know, we thought we put Stanford in the rankings and then bam, Cal's been one that like they're just right there. They can beat anyone. They can also lose to anyone. Like even yesterday in their midweek against UC Davis, they barely squeaked by UC Davis. But those were the two results that jumped out to me. Obviously, UCLA had the weekend off. Washington seems to be getting like almost like Michigan in a sense, incrementally better. Pitching's kind of, you know, they had some good pitching performances, but, you know, Arizona desperate need of that series win. And Oregon's now the one in desperate need of a series win. So they kind of traded spots this week.
And Arizona State, Utah, almost forgot about that. That was actually a pretty tough series for the Sun Devils. They did sweep, but we saw a couple chinks in that armor there. They're still on that win streak. So they're still on it, but I would say keep an eye on the Sun Devils in the next couple weeks here. And that's the pack. I believe that's it for the week. That's a lot, but anything else?
Yeah. One more just quickly, San Diego State beat Boise State in that big series in the Mountain West. That was a huge series. San Diego State, you know, gunning for the title. It was a really good series too. Very tight series, some, you know, really close games. So it was fun to kind of see some of those games. And then we had the news last week that, you know, the Mountain West is going to be adding a postseason tournament for 2023. Very likely the coaches are just kind of hammering out the final details once they meet in June. So keep an eye on that conference, because that's got some more depth than usual. And that was a big series this weekend with the Aztecs coming out on top.
Yeah, those were a couple late night games for even here on the West Coast, for sure on the East Coast. But yeah,
I was a little tired though. I was trying to stay up. Like, my eyes were drooping.
So San Diego State, they, you know, Stacey Newman and her first year at the helm there, done an incredible job with that team and that staff. So that's it for the week. Let's head on into our interview with just an incredible guest for the week. Ree, who do we got?
Yeah, we're strike while the iron's hot with this Nebraska team. We brought on Nebraska pitcher Olivia Farrell, who's a fifth-year senior pitcher. So we knew she would know every intricacy of kind of, you know, how this team compares to past seasons and what they're doing right to get that 18-game win streak. And really enjoyable. She wants to be a coach, so she was just a pleasure to speak with. You can tell she's got a bright future in coaching if she stays in, just by some of her answers. So I think everyone's going to enjoy this interview with Olivia. We are now joined on the D1 Softball Podcast by Nebraska senior pitcher Olivia Farrell. Farrell is 17-4 with a 1.82 ERA and 131 strikeouts in 127 innings pitched for the Huskers. Nebraska's won 18 straight games. Their most recent win was the largest comeback in school history as they rallied from an 8-1 deficit to beat Minnesota 11-8. Still, an 8-1 deficit to rally to keep that streak alive. Thank you so much for joining us today on the podcast, Olivia.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, well, give us some insight into what this key to this team's turnaround has been. I mean, I don't think many of us, to be honest, had us on the radar for Nebraska being, you know, 18 games wins and at the top of the Big Ten. So what has been the key for this team?
Yeah, honestly, we knew, you know, everyone else might not have known that we were going to be on the radar, but we knew it going into season. We've been working hard all year. And honestly, we're just playing together. We're 17-1 on this team, and that's really been the key for us. You know, we're not trying to be individuals when we're going up to bat or in the field. It's all about just playing together, and that's really connected us on and off the field, and that's led to some of the success.
How do you keep, now that you are kind of thrust into the spotlight in a sense more and in national polls now, how do you, as you know, as probably a leader, a captain, someone that's been around there, make sure it doesn't all get too much for you guys now and to still play that way?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we have a lot of young people, young girls on the team. So making sure that it doesn't get too big for them. I know as soon as the rankings came out, I sent a message in our group chat and I was just like, guys, this is great. Enjoy it. But we're not done. You know, we still have a lot of work to do. We're not, you know, we still have 9 games left in the Big Ten regular season. And we need to finish strong no matter what and then get to postseason and ball out. And so this is great. Enjoy it today. But we got to have a short term memory. And this we've earned this, but we're not done earning what's to come. So just staying on track and but we're doing a really good job. You know, the girls aren't, you know, trying to, you know, get too big ahead or anything like that. We know we have to keep working hard. And I think that's also been a key to our success too, is just making sure we're not making things either too big or too getting too low. We're just trying to stay nice and even, and we just let our hard work, you know, show.
How is it we know her, Rhonda Revelle, your head coach, Nebraska, just a legend in the game, someone very well respected, long time there. How is it playing for her, and kind of what have you taken away from that experience in your time there?
Yeah, no, I mean, I've been here for 5 years, so I've had, and I was recruited since I was a freshman in high school, so I've had a long time to get to know Coach Revelle. And she just has so much knowledge, not even just for the game, but I think just in life in general, just the life lessons that, you know, she teaches us has been the biggest thing I think I've taken away from just being here. And she just wants to be there for us as people, not just as softball players. And so, you know, helping us through tough times or being there in the good times, you know, she marries off past players and does all that kind of stuff. And so, you know, she's truly there for us as more than just softball players. And I'm going to even, you know, be a graduate assistant next year on the team. So get to learn from her more in the coaching side. I'm really excited about too.
You were, before you became a softball player, you were a standout hockey player that actually got scholarship offers to Division I programs. Tell me a little bit about that part of your life. How did you, is that any of that translate to the softball field, the hockey mentality?
Yeah, a little bit. You know, I think as being a, I was the hockey goalie. And so, you know, I was the last line of defense. You know, if I let in a goal, you know, that was a little bit on me. And as a pitcher, you know, if a run scores, that's my ERA. So it's kind of that first line, last line of a defense kind of mentality, you know, got to be shut down. We're all with both sports and looking for shutouts, right? So I think that definitely kind of overlaid. And yeah, my brother played hockey growing up. And so I caught on with that. And yeah, I loved it. But it was definitely my sport that I played for fun. I mean, softball is obviously fun, but it was just kind of that off season, keep me in shape sport. And I just kind of happened to be good at it. And then with this, sorry, can you guys still see me? Okay, good. Sorry. But then with, you know, softball, definitely kept my legs strong. That's for sure. But it's been, I love hockey and I miss it, but this was where my heart was to play softball in college. So.
And Olivia, you know, Reed touched on this a little bit in terms of talking about the Big Ten and how you all knew that, you know, you were going to be at the top in, of the Big Ten. And I think the first indication was that Michigan series, you know, taking those for two games from Michigan. One of them, I believe, was canceled. But what was that like in that Michigan series? What was the mindset kind of heading into that and knowing that Michigan and Northwestern, who you actually don't play in the regular Big Ten this year, what was that like playing Michigan?
Yeah, no, I think we knew that that was going to be, you know, a good start for us, especially because it's our first series. It was definitely going to set the tone. And so, you know, we went in there and we meant business. We hadn't, you know, played at Michigan since I think I was a sophomore. And that was a little bit different outcome the last time. And so, you know, we were going up there with a fresh set of eyes, you know, a lot of new girls, and we were just ready to compete. You know, it was, you know, they're Michigan and we respect them greatly and they're a very good softball team. But, you know, we knew we had what it took to compete with them. And we were going to take those games from them. There was never a question of, oh, you know, I hope we get one or, you know, something like that. It was, no, we're coming up here to win softball games.
And you're throwing with a pretty prolific offense to kind of have your back as well as a pitcher in the circle with a team that you're 20-0 when hitting two more or more home runs. I mean, the fact that your squad is hitting two or more home runs in that many games is a feat in itself. What is that like for you, your mindset as a pitcher in the circle? Does that free you up, allowing you to maybe go for it a little bit more and know that your team has your back?
No, 100%. I think I just know that, you know, if something does happen, I let up that grand slam when I came into the game against Minnesota. But I knew that we had a lot of game left and my offense was going to win the game. So just knowing that, you know, I could make a mistake and it's going to be okay. Obviously I'm trying not to, you know, our key on defense is put up zeros, but if something does happen, then I know they're going to have my back. And I think the biggest mentality with our offense is we're just going to keep grinding and keep going. And it doesn't matter if we're down by a lot. It's just, okay, the next one, let's just keep building past the bat. No run amount is too much for us. I think our mindset's just, we're going to keep scoring until the game's over. And if by the game's over, we didn't score enough, then we'll just keep for the next game. It's never, you know, we got down 8-1. It wasn't, we took the series, you know, close enough. We were like, no, we're fine. It's the third inning. Like, we still have a ton of innings left and we're going to score some runs. And so we're just very hungry when we're doing that. And as a pitcher, I can feel that. And I know they're going to keep competing. And so that just makes me want to keep competing too.
Now, Olivia, you said something about staying on as a graduate assistant, obviously. What are your aspirations beyond softball? Do you want to stay in coaching or is this something you're just testing out? Or what are your future goals?
Yeah, no, my goal is to be a college coach. That's what I wanted to do since I got here. And you know, Coach Abell has been a great mentor for me and all the other coaches. And so, yeah, my goal is to be a graduate assistant, learn as much as I can, and then hopefully get a coaching job. It's nice that I'm a pitcher, so I could potentially, you know, get a pitching coach job, to start or something like that. But, I just love the game. I'm a big student of the game I just love trying to help people and, athletes just reach their potential. Even like our players, if I just see like one small thing, like, I just want them to just be the best they can be. And so I just love coaching and every aspect of it and just helping girls reach their full potential. And so I'm really excited for that chapter of my life to start.
And when you say you're a student of the game, what, you know, I think some people may not know all the work that goes into it. What do you really do that goes above and beyond that maybe can give people some insight into the work you do beyond just, you know, bullpen sessions and stuff?
No, exactly. I mean, just yesterday after practice, the pitchers went up and, you know, we watched film on Wisconsin hitters and, you know, just looking at the game, not just so superficially, but, you know, diving into, okay, what is their swing patterns like, or do we need to maybe shift a little bit on defense? Or, okay, this pitcher's throwing this type of spin, so let's make sure that we have this kind of attack plan up to bat, and just like all these little things that go into the game, or whether it's making sure if the ground's a little harder that day that we need to run up and get the hop. And so it's just all those little things that go into the game that I don't think a lot of people might realize that it takes to, you know, keep winning and keep being successful, because there's a lot of things that can affect how the game goes. And if you're able to kind of see all those small things, or it's, you know, if you have two outs, you have to have the run, you have to have people play back farther because to protect the infield, you know, if there's less than two outs, you need to make sure you come up so you can cover short game or a bunt, just things like that, that you just always have to be thinking about and knowing, because it's a game of inches. And so if you're able to kind of have those things in mind as you're going, or try and just have that little edge on your opponent, because at this level, everyone's good, you know, everyone's going to compete. And so if you can have that small edge, then that's going to help you win.
That's awesome. Yeah. There's so much that goes, especially now with all the film out there for every both ways. Right. So
yes,
well, this has been great. We know you got a busy schedule going, but let's kind of end some fun ones here. When you're not playing softball, what's something you do to maybe take your mind off, you know, and kind of get away from the sport?
Yeah, honestly, probably just, I like to read, and that helps, and just hanging out with my roommates and friends. I'm a softball like junkie at heart though. So, and so is my other roommate. So we might just be watching games, or, I love to work out too. And so if I can go in and get an extra lift in or something, then that's kind of my big release, is definitely working out or something like that. But, especially during season, I keep it on my mind quite a bit, just cause it's just a love of mine, and I just love to stay in the game at all times.
Lastly, do you guys as a team have any like fun rituals you do, or fun things that you kind of do to stay loose before or after games?
Yeah. So currently what we have going, I make protein oatmeal balls and I've been bringing them to every single game. And it started when our win streak started. Uh-oh. And so currently I'm just like making these balls nonstop. As we're traveling, they go on the planes, they're coming on the bus with us to Wisconsin. So that's kind of something fun we do. You know, we're one big family. We all love each other. There's 17 of us, so we have a small team. And so just hanging out with each other keeps us really close and loose, and we just have fun. You know, before the game, we're all just hanging out, listening to music. Then as soon as the game's on, we, you know, switch that gear. But I think a great thing for us is just, we know just to have fun, you know, it's still a game and we're out there competing and wanting to win, but whenever we can, we just try and have fun with each other. Cause that's what you're going to remember at the end of the day.
Yeah. Well, man, your kitchen must be just a constant world activity.
It is. I know. I'm like, guys, I need some funds for this peanut butter. It's kind of getting up there. Groceries are skyrocketing.
You're a college student. Can we get like an NIL deal here for like,
no, right? Balls? Skippy peanut butter. Hit me up.
Let's get that out there, man. We need a peanut butter like a runner for
sure.
Is there any way you can share your recipe with us, or is it a secret?
No, I can share it. It's so I do 2 cups of oats and then a cup and a half of peanut butter melted, so it's easier to mix. 2 tablespoons of honey, 2 tablespoons of sugar-free maple syrup. And then sometimes I'll put in a scoop of vanilla protein powder. Just depends if we're looking for that extra boost or not. And then stir that all up, kind of cool it, so that way when you put chocolate chips in, they don't melt. And then roll it all up and you've got your protein balls.
That sounds amazing.
You know, everyone's obsessed. Once they're like, Liv, can I try one? I'm like, yeah, I brought it for everyone. And then they're like, send me the recipe immediately. Like they've become a hit. And so it's really fun. And it's a good energy snack to keep us going during the game too. You kind of get to that fourth inning and start feeling it. So it's good to keep those on hand for that too.
Yeah, and it's relative. I mean, that sounds pretty healthy too, to be honest. There's not much other than maybe the chips, which aren't that, you know, big of a, so that's great. Everyone out there, let's Everyone make a batch and maybe send them to Olivia so she can cut down. Please
send them my way. We need them.
We can cut down on her peanut butter because believe me, someone who loves peanut butter, I know I feel you with the cost there. So
yes, exactly.
Well, this has been awesome. I know you guys are shooting, you know, obviously you got a little bit, but I know you're shooting for OU's 40 game streak that was just broken. So we'll keep up.
Yeah,
we'll keep going where you get, but we'd love to have you back on maybe towards postseason, and just been really fun to watch you guys and just all the celebrations and all the cool, you know, moments, the special moments like the Grand Slam last week and all those really fun moments. So I appreciate you giving us some insight into Nebraska, and we'll look forward to seeing how this whole rest of the season plays out.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been a great ride, and I can't wait to keep riding it.
Olivia Farrell, Nebraska softball. You know, I think I'm going to go to the store and get some peanut butter.
I need to help her out, man. I'm going to try. I mean, maybe we can start a GoFundMe for Nebraska peanut butter. Because I, as someone who's a peanut butter junkie, I love it. And I'm like, it's expensive. And it's the inflation has made it worse. So I'm right there. And Olivia's a college student. So we need an NIL deal or a GoFundMe for Olivia's peanut butter fund.
Yeah, I'm more of an almond butter person, so. Well,
see, that's more expensive.
So I
that's
know.
Almond butter. So I am, but I can't afford the almond butter. So I'm like Walmart peanut butter at this point.
But great to chat with her about Nebraska, the incredible run they're on. You know, Hall of Fame coach Rhonda Revell playing under her. She's just, you know, super inspirational and done a great job with that team this year. And you know, we talked about it. I don't think we thought Nebraska would be at the top of the Big Ten. There's no way we did. But they knew it. And the fact that they've got a small squad at 17, it reminds me of back in the day. And there's something special about having a team that is that tight knit and able to kind of stay as one unit.
Yeah. And I want to get some of the other two. I mean, it's not that people, when people say overlooked, there was a reason. I mean, they weren't winning. So it's not like we disrespected them. We just need to see it. So there was nothing. I love this fact that everyone had counted us out. It's, you know, sometimes you just need to start winning so we can like notice. And so I always knew Rhonda's a great coach and that, you know, that every program goes through a little dip or so, and there's various reasons, and COVID was weird. So it's good to see it back up. But yeah, I definitely know I would have never predicted it. So I'm really happy it's happening, and it's really a cool thing, and I hope they continue it because that's a great program and that's good for the sport when they're good.
So that's Olivia Farrell with Nebraska in it. And this weekend, they've got a good matchup, like we said, against Wisconsin. So keep an eye on that series in the Big Ten. That's it for the week. Ree, what are you watching? Give me one game you're watching this week that you've got your eye on.
Can I give you three? Just really quick. Sure. I will say. Yeah, I'll just Oklahoma State, Texas, Arkansas, Florida, and Clemson, Florida State. Those are my three that I'm going to be watching pretty closely.
All three incredible matchups. I've got my eye on this Nebraska and Wisconsin series. I think that's going to be a big one. And tonight, the Northwestern Illinois game is going to be another big indicator in the Big Ten. And then UCLA, Oregon State this weekend. So that will be good. Both top 25 teams and a good test for the Bruins. They had a midweek game after having a bye week off in the pack here. So everything else will be up on the website in the notebooks, and we'll have a weekend primer for you to watch, for you to know what to watch this weekend. Head on over to the site, d1softball.com. Let us know what you think. If you have any questions, send us an email at info@d1softball.com. And Ree, any final thoughts?
One quick little note. I think we talked about her a lot, like from her World Series last year, but Mackenzie Donahue of OU's taken a leave of absence for personal reasons. So nothing really, you know, super specific about it, but just that's something to keep an eye on, that she's taken a leave of absence. And USA Softball released their top 25 finalists for Player of the Year. It'll be pared down to 10 and then down to 3. So we'll have something up on the site. You want to check out the list of players.
Yeah, we'll go through that list next week They just released it. So we'll go through that next week and break that down for everybody. All right, that's it for the D1 Softball Podcast. We'll see you all next week.